From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. When people think of Sudan, they likely think of burning villages and civil war, not wildlife tourism. Well, South Sudan wants to change that. Next month, it will secede and become the world's newest nation, and officials there want people to come see the animals. It turns out many antelope, elephants, even some giraffes survived the brutal North-South Civil War. As NPR's Frank Langfitt reports, South Sudan is now trying to protect them and build a tourism business from scratch.
Paul Elkann returns to his bush camp in South Sudan's Boma National Park one recent morning, carrying a radio tracking collar. He found it lying in the savanna, about 5 miles away. It's cut clean through, the edges chewed up by a knife. The antelope that wore it, long dead.
The animal was shot, this tiang, and then the hunters cut the collar off. And obviously they were cutting little pieces on each side. Maybe they're trying to find gold or something. They didn't know what they had.
How common is it for some of the animals that you collar to actually get shot?
We've had a couple of tiang lost to hunters. We have a couple of cob lost to hunters and a few elephant as well.
Elkann works for the New York-based Wildlife Conservation Society. He's tracking the migration patterns of cob and tiang, species of antelope, as well as elephants, to help the government build strategies to protect them from poachers. After more than 20 years of war, most wildlife in South Sudan was thought to be dead. But in aerial surveys a few years back, Elkann and his team found an estimated 5,000 elephants and more than 1 million antelope.
You have one of the last great intact wildernesses in Africa, and then you have the world's second largest land mammal migration.
If only the government here can keep it going. The war left South Sudan awash in AK-47s. Relative peace and new roads have made it easier for poachers to find game. South Sudan does have park rangers, but they're undermanned and often outgunned.
Our force is not able to contain the poaching because it is over a vast area. Our parks are very large.
Minnesota Peters, head of wildlife management for South Sudan. He says the worst poachers are members of the National Army.
The soldier contributed a big amount, I would say 60%.
Peters says some soldiers poach animals to sell to South Sudan's growing commercial bushmeat market. Others killed to feed their families. Peter tried to arrest the soldier once on his own.
He was just coming from the bush with his meat on his head and a gun on his shoulder. So I was asking, why do you do this? He just threatened. He said I should not disturb him because they have not been paid money. So that is the only way they can live. Do I want to kill him with hunger?
Peter was unarmed, so he let the soldier go. Jonathan Wright runs Wild Places Africa, a tour company in neighboring Uganda. He sees potential in South Sudan. But first, he says, the government has to fence off areas to protect the surviving animals so they can breed.
For example, say you're talking about a species like tiang or topi, you'd put in anything between 30 or 40 animals into that area where they can live normally and they're protected against cats and poachers. And gradually, as those populations breed up, you start releasing into the wild the captive population.
Even if South Sudan can protect the animals, how do you convince people to come see them in a place synonymous with war? Wright acknowledges it will take years to educate potential tourists. Recent events haven't helped. At least 1,500 people have died in violence in South Sudan this year. The Northern Sudanese Army attacked a disputed border area last month, sending nearly 100,000 people fleeing. Wright points out that Boma National Park is close to Ethiopia and nowhere near the volatile north-south border, and the main conflict around Boma is cattle raiding.
The people are generally nomadic cattle herders. Really, their main interest is not being rebels and charging around. It's actually their lives like normal people. So I've never really found that these people are very difficult to deal with unless you have a cow.
Wright has applied to the government of South Sudan to run high-end tours, and he says five groups have already asked to go.
We would put seasonal camps for 3 months, 4 months, whilst the migration is going through. We would want to bring in horse riding into it. It's always a great way to get around the savanna habitat.
Ambitious for a region that has almost no infrastructure. But Wright says that's the appeal and marketing pitch to adventure travelers.
You know, that pure sense of Africa, vast spaces and wilderness. You know, the Africa before Karen Blixen came. Sudan still has that.
South Sudan could certainly use the tourists. The economy is based entirely on oil, which doesn't create many jobs. Daniel Wani is South Sudan's Undersecretary for Wildlife, Conservation, and Tourism.
As much as we are maybe fortunate to have the oil wealth may not be there for life. But these animals will be there for life if we manage them well.
Wani says he hopes South Sudan can establish independence next month with little bloodshed and build a lasting peace. Years from now, he hopes when people hear the name South Sudan, they won't think of war anymore. And maybe, just maybe, they might come visit to see elephants, antelope, and giraffe. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.